Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with Hannah's back with us. Hi, Hannah.
Hello.
And Taylor.
Hi.
And Miss Tara, of course, and myself, Sandy. And we are going to talk about the call of Abram. And that will be in Genesis again, and we will be covering Genesis 12.
1 through 9.
1 through 9. I just about said nothing. That's not right. And then Genesis 15, 1 through 20.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to read the passage.
All right. Hannah, you want to go first?
I'd love to. So, Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. And so we're going to skip through all the way to chapter 15, because there's a lot of different fightings and events that go on between the two chapters. But then I'm going to read chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. So starting in 1, "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.' Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?' The Lord told him, 'Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, 'You will be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction.' After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, 'I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadamites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Gersites, and Jebusites.'"
A lot of ites there.
A lot of ites, yeah.
One of the definitions for Canaanite that was given that I read just this week, they said that it could be the specific group of the people, but it could also be where it encompassed all the peoples and so in that land. So I thought that was interesting, because you have to really pay attention whenever that's used, because it could be referencing all of the people in the Canaan land, or it could be just the specific Canaanite people. So whenever you read the ites, keep that in mind.
You did a great job with that, Hannah.
Well, thank you. It's impressed. Things that you read in your head, and then you actually read it out.
And then those different words come out. Yeah.
It's so good. Okay, now I want to explain why we're just doing Genesis 12, 1 through 9, and then 15 through 1 through 20. This here is Abram's conversation with God. And that's what we're focusing in on. There's the battles that will happen in between as he begins his obedience, but he's in his struggle because God has given him an invitation. We could look at this and think of this as, and this is Abram's story, but what it is that God's on the move, and Abram is choosing to move in to God's will and his plan. And it's kind of like a paradigm is starting to be set up for us on what it means to be in relationship with God and to walk in obedience with God. And so that's why we're choosing these two passages. For many years when I taught this, I actually focused on Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, just showing the beginning of it. And as I was preparing it and teaching it three different times this semester, and then would be here at the radio the fourth time, I was going through and I was having a conversation with Caleb, one of my students, and he was telling me, he goes, well, in one of my classes, I really liked how such and such professor, and I can't even remember which professor said it, really talked about it has to be 15. And that was it, you know, went on. And later I thought, well, I wonder why that professor really liked 15. And, you know, I've read it a lot, but I went and I read it and I thought, oh, I really need to change this. And so I actually changed the curriculum this semester. And so for 5 years I've taught where we did 11 and 12. This semester I moved to 12 and 15 because of the fact that it's about the communication. And it's a paradigm shift about how to be in relationship with God. So I want that in your mind as we're going. And so the first question we want to ask is, why is this important? Okay. And so with what I just told you, why do you think it's important for us to understand that? He's wanting to have a relationship and be in communication. What does that speak to you? You guys are all silent. It's radio.
Well, I was waiting for the young girls.
I think it's important because up to this point, like, Abram has not had too much relationship at all with God that we have recorded, other than, like, I don't know, some of the accounts that you would have discussed in 11. And so, like, coming up to this point where it shows God, like, just stepping into Abram's life and drawing him in, and wishing for that relationship, it's kind of what God does in all of our lives, is he steps in and it changes everything, because before then we didn't really have a story that mattered, and then God steps in and he directs it, and he makes it personal. It's not just, I want you to do this and this. It's, I want to be a part of your life in many ways, and the promises that God gives, it's not only to Abram in this story, but also to us as we follow him and have a relationship with him every day.
So right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good job.
So good. So good. Anybody want to add to that? No, we're good. That's okay. That's good. Good. Okay. So some things that I wanted to do is, whenever we look at why is a story important, is we need to see if scripture supports it in other places. And so there are several things that we can pull out. So the first one that I really wanted us to get is that it's about his belief. And it's always going to be about our belief in our relationship with God, is what is our belief. And so if I could, Taylor, would you mind looking up for me Romans 4, 1 through 3? Actually, you know what? I'm just going to pass my notes over. And it's this section right here, if you could show her, because I chose to put it in the message, all of these in the message. So if you could read that for us, because I like the way the message had these worded because of its choice of words.
Okay, Romans 4, 1 through 3. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father, in the faith into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own.
Ooh, I love it. And I like the message because it uses the word story, and because I'm trying to teach the importance of, we have to be able to communicate God's story. And so that is like why I chose that particular translation. So I want us to think right here. It gives us what was happening. And we have to recognize, based on Romans 4, 1 through 3, the description that it says, Abram recognized that, one, God was the one on the move. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that Abram was on the move. He was in a foreign country. He was a pagan. His parents were pagans, mm-hmm. and they were worshiping pagan idols. It's not that his story was significant. It's that God chose him and invited him to mm-hmm. be a part of what he was going to do.
And another key word when you're reading that jumped out at me was trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a relationship, that trust is there.
Yeah. And it when makes a big difference.
It does.
It makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And the trust, it says that he saw that God was on the move, and Abram chose to join God, mm-hmm. and then he chose to trust him. Mm-hmm. And in that process, he was willing to forego what he had as a plan. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm in that place where it's like, okay, I just don't know what my next steps are, I have to surrender myself and say, okay, God, I just want to be where you're on the move. I want to join you where you're at. I want to trust you. I don't mm-hmm. want my plans.
I was going to say, I want your plan instead
right,
of mine.
Right.
Because we all have our own plans sometimes.
And that's the challenge that we're given in Romans mm-hmm. based on what happened in Abram's life. And so that was the first one. The second one, and I'll have Hannah read it. I was like, I just went blank. So I told you guys, I was literally up from 1 until about 4 this morning. I wasn't sleeping well, so my brain's a mess. Is that as he was choosing to enter into God's plan, Galatians 3, 5 through 6, and the message is so much better in how it's worded right here. And so I want us to hear what it says in the message from Galatians. Go ahead. It's this passage, right, where it's highlighted, italicized.
Oh, okay. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God.
It's so beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, here we have it. He says he allowed his belief in God to mm-hmm. happen. And what happened because he had the belief?
Well, he saw that God provided for him. I put down like provision, trust, and belief again out of that one.
What did he do with his belief? Did he act on it?
He was obedient.
He was obedient. He acted on it.
Right.
The belief immediately caused him to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that by doing the meta narrative and going through the stories, countless times as I study these stories over and over and over, a message is given and it says, instantly they, mm-hmm. he obeyed.
Immediately
they obeyed. Yep. They obeyed, got up and did what God said. It's always about, it's an action, immediately mm-hmm. taking the action of what was brought to them. And so their belief in God caused them to act on that belief. So what we have inside us as a belief is what we're going to act on. And so I have to question myself based on my actions. What do my actions reveal about my beliefs? And so that really causes me to stop. And the crazy thing is that this is the beauty of it, is that if our belief is in God and we're acting on and entering into God's plan, we stop striving.
Mm.
The stress and the striving ends. And we don't feel that we have to. Listen, it says, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving? Or because you trust in him? Because we're trusting in God, he will move in our behalf. And it's not about us and what we're striving. It's the trust. And so once again, do you see how it is built on trust?
Mm-hmm.
Second time showing that belief, action, it's a revelation of trust. And, you know, in scripture, he counted it as righteousness. Okay. So the last one is the summation, and James, everybody knows James is the best. It's what is faith without works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Taylor, James 2, right here, it's this paragraph, 2:23-24, and it's the message as well that she'll be reading from.
Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works when he placed his son Isaac on the sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners, that faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith, the full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence. Abraham believed God was set right with God. Includes his action. And it's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. Is it not evident that a person is made right with God not by a bare faith, but by faith fruitful in works? Sorry, I am all
you
over the place.
You did good. Okay, so Abram was made right with God because of what he did. God said, here I am. Come on, I'm inviting you in. I want this paradigm shift. You are a pagan. Your parents are pagan. You're living in a pagan place. But I'm going to call you out, and we probably won't get into it this radio segment, but we're actually going to look at what did God do in behalf of Abram, and we're going to list out all the things we can think of that he did in his behalf. And so as he had his belief in God, according to the James 2, it set him right with God. And then with that, it caused him to move into the fruit of the goodness of what God was going to do through him in the story. And so when we talk about God's grand narrative, the big picture, we're now seeing how the invitation is for Abram to enter in so that he can join God, so that God can use him. And for us, as we began this segment and Hannah had shared, it's a revelation for us of how God is at work around us, and he has given us an invitation to join him and to go with him. But it always goes back to the belief and the trust. Mm-hmm. And then you have to act on it. And if we're not acting on it, we can't be used of God if we're not entering into what he's doing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how much time do we have left? Oh, just less than a minute. That went fast, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how would you guys sum up what we could learn from this lesson today? What sticks out to you?
All those words, trust, believe, you know, action.
Yeah.
You know, once you believe in Christ, God at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you listen to God and you do what God has led you to do.
Well, and for us today, it needs to be through the Lord Jesus.
But I was just thinking we were talking about.
But we are speaking of Abram. But
correct.
Let's transfer
it's
that.
It's the same
to
thing.
Us. It's with New Jesus. Testament now. Mm-hmm. It is that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in our belief in him, we are saved and have eternal life, and we're joining in as Gentiles.
Right. And we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. How about the two of you? 5 seconds.
Or not.
Yes and amen.
Amen.
We're so glad you're listening. God bless.